It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thank you. You each are treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose today. Go out there and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We've got a great show planned today. We will be talking about some headlines in this first segment. Want to get both Lauren Levy and Karen Levine's thoughts about these lockdowns, and we'll do that in the second segment. Third and fourth segment, Tom Petrie, he is with the oil and gas investment banking boutique firm of Petrie Partners. We'll be talking about health and hydrocarbons, energy policy, and that'll be in the third and fourth segment. Here it is, Friday. I cannot believe that next week is Thanksgiving. Can you, Producer Steve?
No, the whole year. As you tear off the calendar, you know, I hate to be old-fashioned here, but you tear off the calendar off the wall, you know, go to the next month, and you're like, okay, it says it's November, but it seems like it should be July.
I know. The year has gone really fast. On the other hand, it's gone slow. 2020, really, I don't know what else to say. Interesting year. Hopefully 2021, hopefully I want to say get back to normal where we can be with friends and family and our businesses are open and we're working on thriving and prospering again versus this lockdowns and shutdowns and the scare narratives out there. Earlier this week, we talked to Michelle Gruber and her husband, Russell. They both had contracted coronavirus and survived. They got through all that. But we were talking about leadership. And I was thinking about Lincoln. Yesterday, we had the show regarding the Gettysburg Address. And Russell said something I thought was really interesting, and that was negative leadership. Did that hit you, Steve, when he said that?
Yeah, it did. And, it is illustrative of what a lot of people are feeling in terms of this. We're watching it. We're in territory we've never been in before. And you want to say, well, you know, if this never been done before, then errors are bound to be made. But something every day, daily, you're seeing something is that, well, is that really an error per se that, you know, we'll be able to Monday morning quarterback later and say, well, we shouldn't have done that. There just seems to be things in our government that are just, it's just too coincidental.
It is very coincidental. And that's the thing about it is we will have the benefit to look back and see whether or not it was just error or if it was a narrative out there for a specific agenda. I have a gut feeling about it. But we will see on that. Also like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that's Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting as well. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And if something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And going back to the California Governor Newsom, the fact that he is using all kinds of force to, quote unquote, keep Californians safe from this deadly virus, but yet he is at a restaurant with 12 others, no masks, sitting right next to each other. And you have to say, if in fact his narrative of this is a deadly, deadly virus was true, then he wouldn't be doing that. So something is not passing the smell test on that.
That's a great illustration of negative leadership. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you.
That is for sure. I was thinking as we were going, thinking about the quotes for today, I wanted something with hope. And you're familiar, Steve, with the story of Corrie Ten Boom, yes?
Oh, no? Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. And Corrie Ten Boom, she grew up in a devoutly religious family. During World War II, she and her family harbored hundreds of Jews to protect them from arrest by Nazi authorities. I think that they're Dutch. And is that right? I think Dutch or Belgium. Now I can't remember. But anyway, one of the two. And betrayed by a fellow Dutch citizen, the entire family was imprisoned. Corrie survived and started a worldwide ministry and later told her story in a book entitled The Hiding Place, which I remember reading as a little girl. Her sister did not survive the concentration camp. And if anybody wanted to have a grudge, if anybody wanted to be a victim, she could have the right to do that. But actually, she went on to it's a great story. In fact, she came face to face with one of the guards in the concentration camp, and he asked for her forgiveness. And she said that was one of the most difficult things that she ever did, but she forgave him. She was born in 1892. She died in 1983. And she said this, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." I thought that was really appropriate for right now, Steve.
I guess I had heard it empties today of its joy, but I get it. It's powerful. It's real.
Yes. And so if you want to be inspired, just go and look for some Corrie Ten Boom quotes today. First thing, big press conference yesterday with Rudy Giuliani and the Trump team, the legal team, regarding, they say that they have all kinds of proof regarding voter irregularities and fraud. People are saying, well, we'd like to see it. Giuliani apparently said, we're going to show it to the courts. Obviously, they have, I think, several hundred people that have signed affidavits regarding they witnessed voter fraud. And, of course, the press is asking for those names. And then the next thing you know, those names, those people would be harassed. So they're not releasing those names, Steve, at this particular point in time, which I think is wise. And bear in mind, this takes a lot of courage because the radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party and the media and big tech and education, the deep state, it looks like they will stop at nothing to scare people. And so it's very appropriate that they keep those names close to their chest.
I didn't see it when it was live, the presser you're referring to yesterday with Giuliani, but I've seen enough of the excerpts from it to kind of knit it together. And I think he gave us what they felt they could put out there without having it used against them. Now, Tucker Carlson is kind of pressuring Sidney Powell to, well, show us what you got, but they can't because they know the other side, the deep state, is more than ready to pounce to make it irrelevant somehow. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My biggest fear is that we're going to run out of time somehow.
That is what I'm concerned about. So it's a race against the clock on this. I was talking to a friend of mine last night who had been in the computer, the IT business for many, many years. And she said that this switching of votes by the software is something that is very easy to do. She said, but there should be a trail that is also very easy to find. I think she called it the logs. And so she was very confident that they've got the goods on this. And Steve, I think that people have gotten, where they're just have kind of gotten used to politicians cheat. You know, they say, oh, all politicians cheat. Well, no, or they don't tell the truth. There's a lot of them, and that is the case. And of course, the power of being in office can actually be attractive to people that want to have power over others, use that power for their own personal gain. But I really think that there's a lot of people that are now paying attention, and they're saying, this is not how America is. This is not the American idea. And I think there's going to be a real cleanup as far as the dirtiness that it looks like that we're seeing in this election, Steve.
Well, you talk about the people who appear to be so power hungry. I give you the governor of Michigan. I give you the governor of Pennsylvania. There's no words to describe these people and their vindictive.
Governor of Colorado.
Well, I didn't. I don't know. I'm not going to give him any slack. but he doesn't seem to be near as nasty as these other two. Maybe he's going to get there. He's maybe, because I know like Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania, he will not be doing another term. I mean, he's term limited. So maybe that's one of the reasons behind his nastiness, his vindictiveness, the way he approaches things. So, you know, Mr. Polis has got, you know, certainly he's looking forward to a second term. So I think that, you know, might be where his goose gets cooked, but that remains to be seen.
Okay. Well, what we are seeing as far as these lockdowns on everyday businesses, I was talking with someone yesterday, and they've been talking, was a young person, with another friend of theirs who leans left, who is really following this narrative, the scare tactics. And this person is able to work from home. And because of that, they are pro-lockdown. And my friend said, but if in fact government was coming in and saying to them that they couldn't work, they might look at this whole lockdown situation differently. And I thought that does make a lot of sense, because if you don't understand just the angst, the stress of these bars and restaurants, they're wondering what they're going to be able to do if in fact, and they are in the metro area locked down, they're really concerned about their livelihoods. And Patty had it on the outlines that 79% of bars and restaurants say that with continued lockdowns, within 6 months, they might not be around. And there's something really wrong with government using policy under the guise of trying to protect people to use policy to shut people's businesses down, Steve.
I keep looking. The package that Patty sends us every morning is so comprehensive. There's almost too much in there. It makes your head spin. But trying to knit all this together and find the neutral ground, or the place where, again, they keep beating us over the head, you got to follow the science. Well, sometimes in your attempt to do so, you get so far off into the weeds, you're not sure what's real.
Yes.
And I'm going to take... You used the word normal a while ago, and normal is a four-letter word. And you need to say, well, what is normal after a while? And, you know, our friend Matt next door in KLTT, remember, he'll say, normal is just a setting on your dryer.
Yeah, I remember him saying that.
And, you know, you laugh at that, but he said, well, what is normal?
Well, the normal that I want to get to is where America is the land of the free and the home of the brave. To get back to those ideals of the American founding, that every individual has these rights given by God to pursue their happiness and life and liberty. That's really the normal that I want to get to. Before we go to break, though, all of these small businesses are trying to figure it out. Now, next Saturday, the 28th, is Small Business Saturday. I would so encourage each and every one of you to go out and do some business with a small business. And one of those is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And they are trying to figure out all of this policy. So at this particular point in time, Loveland and Colorado Springs is still open for dine-in. And so grab your friends, your family, and you can go and dine in at those Hooters restaurants. Aurora, Lone Tree, and Westminster, weather permitting, you can dine out on the patio. And then the other creative thing that they're doing is they have all kinds of to-go specials. They've got a party pack. If you're going to be getting together with family and don't want to cook one of the days this next week, they've got this great party pack. It's $75. You get 50 wings, some appetizers. You can actually order, this is so interesting now, with the whole COVID thing, you can now order alcohol from a restaurant and take it out. But you used to not be able to because of policy. It's crazy. But anyway, for more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com, and we'll be right back.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, KimMunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is KimMunson.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcast and our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson. Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast and our most recent op-eds. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. In the last segment, we were talking about, people have gotten to a point where they're like, I don't trust politicians. I don't trust these PBIs, these politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties because of different stories that we see. And one of them, this is from the New York Post. It says, tax filings reveal that the Biden cancer charity spent millions on salaries and zero on research. And this is something that we have seen by politicians and not just politicians, but others as well. So a cancer charity that was started by Joe Biden gave out no money to research and spent most of its contributions on staff salaries, federal findings show. It says the Biden Cancer Initiative was founded in 2017 by the former vice president and his wife, Jill Biden, to develop and drive implementation of solutions to accelerate progress in cancer prevention, detection, diagnosis, research, and care, and to reduce disparities in cancer outcomes, according to an IRS mission statement. But guess what? It didn't give out any grants in the first 2 years, but it spent millions on salaries of former Washington, D.C. aides that it hired. It took in $4.8 million in years 2017 and 2018, and spent $3 million on payroll in those 2 years. So what this is a scheme where they are able to, under the guise of, first of all, they don't pay any taxes on that money. Whoever donates to that particular charity gets to write it off. And then they use that money to get that over to fund the livings, the lifestyles of those within their circle. And that is why people, I think, do not trust politicians. Joe Biden has been in office for 47 years, and this is just another example of why people don't trust some of their governments.
Does that remind you of anybody by chance? CGI. CGI, that's your clue. Clinton Global Initiative.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like the Bidens were watching the Clintons and say, oh, this is how you do that.
And the other thing is in essence, then see those that are donating to it are able to, they're buying influence, if you will, but they're also getting a tax deduction. And there's something just really wrong about that.
You know, when you have termites, the rot goes and it gets more and more advanced as it goes. So you're describing termites.
Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine said, Trump, love him or hate him, he is bringing clarity to these issues. And we are seeing all kinds of things. And everyday people have been busy. They haven't been paying attention. And now, all of a sudden, I hope that people are paying attention. That's why we do this show, is to search for truth, clarity, help you get your brain around these issues. These lockdowns are, they're just super concerning. And Patty had found another piece that across the globe, people are getting tired of these lockdowns and the shutdowns. And Karen Levine is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, also a partner with the Kim Munson Show. Karen Levine, what's your thoughts? Welcome to the show. What's your thoughts about these lockdowns?
Well, I think many of us are just feeling exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And I really applaud the Colorado Association of Realtors and the Denver Metro Association of Realtors, who had a call into the governor's office yesterday. I'm not sure what the outcome was yet, but one thing about Governor Polis is he has continued to deem real estate as essential, whereas the state of New Mexico has really locked down real estate, and they're going to cause harm to people who are trying to obtain shelter. And so hopefully we'll be able to continue to show homes, and we were showing them in a very restricted manner and trying to keep the health and safety of ourselves, our sellers, and our buyers. And we are hoping that that will be able to continue. So we haven't heard that we need to change anything we've been doing, and there has not been any instances, to our knowledge, of people in a real estate transaction contracting the virus. So I think we've been doing a good job.
Well, what's happening down in New Mexico?
Well, they have made restrictions such as they've required all real estate offices to close. Well, we're very mobile, and we don't spend a lot of time in the office. So that wasn't super harmful, other than you need your support staff there to support the transactions.
Sure.
And so that's going to be challenging for them to be working remotely. We found it challenging when they did close us down back this spring. So they are doing that. But the thing that kind of blew me away is that they're going to allow them to show homes in person, but the agent cannot go into the property. Only the buyer can go into the property. Well, I don't think that's a very good check and balance. I mean, when we're with our clients, you know, we, one, have the ability to show them what they, you know, what they need to see in a home, point out attributes, amenities, features, but also to keep the property safe for the seller.
Good point. Okay.
We're in Colorado, we're required or asked to open all the doors so that, you know, surfaces aren't being touched by other people, that type of thing. And we've had instances nationwide where buyers have come in who have potential addiction problems, and they walk out with seller's prescription drugs.
Well, I hadn't even thought about that kind of stuff. Oh,
I know. Is that crazy? So you certainly want to have some checks and balances there.
I had not even thought about that with the real estate agent. It assures the safety integrity of the home as well. Gosh, I hadn't even thought about that, Karen.
Yeah, well, and I think that's well put, Kim. It's the safety and integrity of the home, and sellers have opened their homes to us knowing that a licensed professional would be with the consumer. I don't know how the sellers in New Mexico are going to feel. It's just a very, as we would say, overreaching step.
It is an overreaching step, but yet then on the other hand, you have other businesses where people can be interacting with each other. It just doesn't make sense to me, Karen, what's happening.
Exactly, and we were out with friends last night to celebrate Denver Restaurant Week and to support our local restaurant, and our friends said, we got in under the wire.
Yeah. Because it's what, today is the shutdown day?
Exactly. You know, I mean, how crazy. We're
yes.
trying to help these restaurants and support Denver Restaurant Week, and 3 days of the event is cut short because of another lockdown.
Well, one other thing, and this was a headline, Karen, that Patty had pulled, and that is here you've got policy shutting down these restaurants and taverns and bars, but yet then Governor Polis wants to come in and do a stimulus to help people. I think most people don't want a handout from the government. They would rather be able to be open and creating their own business, thriving, prospering, instead of a government handout. And again, a lot of this just is not making sense to me. Karen Levine, RE/MAX Alliance, what's your final thought on all this?
Well, we continue to be hopeful that we can help consumers buy and sell real estate. And should you be needing any assistance, have any questions about the recent environment, I would ask your listeners just to reach out. I'm a resource and would certainly help them navigate their transactions to their benefit.
And you can reach Karen at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516. And she can help with buying or selling your home, or if you're looking at a new build, it's good when you walk in to take a look at that new build to have Karen on your side of the table as well. Well, wish you a very blessed Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you soon.
You too, Kim.
Thanks so much. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Are you sticking around for Thanksgiving? Can I ask these questions? Maybe I can't ask these questions on the radio, Jason.
You can ask, but I'm revealing no details about what I'm doing for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I think that's smart.
I think that probably is smart.
Don't you?
I think that probably is smart.
Yeah.
What is the markets doing right now?
Well, right now they're closed, but the futures look like they're going to be down maybe just a tiny bit on the open on the Dow and up just a tiny bit on the open on the NASDAQ, which would kind of follow what we saw yesterday, Kim, which was actually kind of one of the quietest days we've seen for quite some time. Yesterday, the Dow was up 44 points. Seems like anything that's not at least triple digits or triple digits with a two handle on the front is almost nothing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
NASDAQ did a little better, actually. NASDAQ had a 103-point gain yesterday, Kim, on a pretty good increase in volume as well. So both indexes, of course, still very, very close to their highs. You know, now as we come into the end of the year, I think most people are aware of this at this point, but for those that aren't, if you have not taken your required minimum distribution from your IRA or 401k for this year, if you had one, there is no requirement to do that for 2020. I know a lot of folks kind of put them off until late in the year. If you're not aware of it yet, you do not have to take that distribution out. Now, of course, Kim, if you need the income to live on, you're still going to take it. But for those that are only taking it because the rules force them to, this year you have a choice. You can either take it or you don't take it, and there are reasons you may want to if you believe that you're going to be in a low tax bracket mm-hmm. this year and it's advantageous to have the income now rather than later. You know, it may make sense to still take the distribution or even a higher amount. I guess what I'm saying is this year you've got complete freedom to do whatever you want to, at least in that regard, and that might be the only thing this year that you've had complete freedom on that I can think of. So
you
take
think?
Advantage of it.
That's for sure. We like freedom. Jason McBride, and people can reach you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. You have a great day, a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Have a good show, Kim.
You bet. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, this is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. And reliable, efficient, affordable, and responsible energy is what fuels our lives. It helps us to thrive and prosper. And there's public policy that has been assaulting that to some degree. And that's why we want to make sure that I think we take it for granted when we have this great energy source. And so when we come back, we're going to be talking with Tom Petrie. He's with Petrie Partners, which is a boutique oil and gas investment banking firm, to get the current kind of lay of the land on what's going on out there in the energy sector. We'll be right back.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich and Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich and Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich and Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich and Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. We would appreciate that as well. Responsible, efficient, affordable, and reliable energy helps fuel our lives, and it empowers us to go after our hopes and dreams, to take care of our families, to run our businesses. And I think sometimes we take that energy source for granted. And then we've seen public policy that is trying to pick winners and losers in our energy sector as well. And so that's why we do this health and hydrocarbon show, so that you can get your brain around these issues and talk with your friends and your family and your colleagues about this. And Tom Petrie is an expert in this field. He is with Petrie Partners, which is a oil and gas investment banking firm. Tom Petrie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Good to be here.
There's a lot going on out there, Tom. What are you seeing in the energy sector right now?
Well, this has been one of the most adversely affected parts of our economy, really since February, March. We've come through a downturn in demand that exceeds any of the last six or seven events in the last 35 to 40 years, starting with the Yom Kippur War and the Iranian Revolution, the oil price collapse in the mid-'80s, and so on, and certainly 9/11 and the invasion of Kuwait. But the industry really adapted, came back. But we are, with the possible change of power here, and that's still a not fully decided situation, but it's looking like a longer shot than I would have thought. We're likely to see different policies, and they're likely to be a challenge to that energy independence that we established when we took 6 million barrels a day a decade plus ago, all the way up to 13 million barrels a day. We've had a retreat. We're down under 11, so 10 and a half thereabouts. Still in a very good position vis-a-vis where we've been historically, but the policy decisions of a Biden administration, if the inauguration goes as indicated at this point, will be a challenge.
And just going back to clarify, when you talked about 6 million to 13 million, is that U.S. production or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, the old peak for U.S. production was in 1970-71 at 9.8 million barrels a day. And we dropped down in natural depletion to 6 million, was slightly under 6 million barrels a day at the low point. But with the shale revolution, we began to rebuild our production capability. It was truly a technological revolution, and the learning curve was such that we reached levels that were unimaginable during much of the last 30 years, mainly because it redefined how we went after the resource base because of improved technology. But your point about it being taken for granted is a good one. And certainly within the progressive elements of our political debate, there are those who are so fixated on climate change that they would look to, Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden, has talked about a transition away from fossil fuels. And certainly mixing in other sources can make sense up to a point. But the idea of prematurely eliminating fossil fuel options is more extreme than I think is justified by the facts.
Tom Petrie, I think that everyday people take for granted the reliability of energy, of being able to go in and turn the lights on, heat for your home, fuel for your car. I think that, I guess through the whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus thing, we realized that we had taken a lot of things for granted when we had gone to the store and the shelves were not full like we were used to. And I think we need to realize that bad public policy could really affect that reliability. They saw it out in California recently with the rolling blackouts and making decisions on, you know, when you can wash your clothes. In fact, somebody was telling me up in Fort Collins that, and I think Fort Collins has their own utility there, that they charge more for energy, say, after like 5 o'clock. So my friend said that people that are working, moms that are working, they, when they wash their clothes, say from that 5 to 9 time in the evening, the energy costs more. And I don't think it has to be that way, Tom.
Well, it certainly is by design to try to give a price signal that will shift patterns of consumption through the 24-hour day. But the main point is, let's have something that encourages safe and effective development of new energy sources. The kind of shock to the system we came through, we were producing very late last year. This time last year, we were producing 12.7 million barrels a day on its way to crossing the 13 million barrel a day mark. The advent, the recognition and public awareness that developed by late February, early March, of that we had a pandemic issue, took us down. And there were times, intermittent times, when the amount of, now I'm speaking globally, global availability of oil or global demand for oil was falling very rapidly. That caused forced inventory building and then price adjustments. And we've lived through what would be some combination of any of the other big disruptions in the last 35 years. This year, it would take two or three of those past ones to amount to what we lived through this year. The markets did adjust. We did come back. We had some real geopolitical issues that complicated it in terms of Russia and Saudi Arabia having to step in and reduce their availability of oil to get the supply-demand back into balance. But we don't want to be dependent on decisions of Saudi Arabia or others in the Middle East to have a reliability of energy. And that's going to be that. I think that'll be a big issue if the election turns out as we're being told it has turned out. And that's still an open issue. But assuming that President Biden is making policy and the people he puts in place follow what they've traditionally done, energy policy making will be a big issue in the early years of the next administration.
Okay, just drilling down to Biden-Harris energy policy program, is energy, is our electricity, is running our homes and our businesses, do you think that it will be more expensive?
Well, I do, and it'll take time for that to happen, but I do believe that to be the case. One of the issues we're going to have is the desire to really shift more rapidly than the market might ordinarily accommodate to the renewables, the renewable sources of energy. Now, there is a place in the overall energy consumption spectrum for solar and wind, but the idea of pushing artificially and prematurely to greater market share by virtue of policy is one that has to be approached with real care, because the displacement of other very effective and in some cases more effective sources of energy is going to be part of the debate, I expect, literally in this coming year and thereafter. And it may well become one of the features of the debate in the 2022 elections. The shift that we saw in the House would certainly suggest it's those kind of policy issues that may well decide control of the House in the 2 years from now.
In your meaning, the Republicans picked up many more seats in the House of Representatives than was anticipated. And so you could see that could continue as a shift. I think what we'll do, Tom Petrie, is let's go to break, because when we were doing our pre-call on this, you said these Georgia Senate races are very, very important, and we'd like to understand why. So let's go to break. Before we do that, though, I want to mention a great partner of mine, and that's Castlegate Knife and Tool, family-owned business right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And they are going to be doing some great specials on Small Business Saturday, which is the Saturday after Thanksgiving. There'll be in-store specials, and then they'll also have some things on the web as well. They just rolled out their brand new website with all of their products. They have knives and tools from the best blade makers throughout the world. Go to castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. We're talking with Tom Petrie. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. And we will be right back as we continue to talk about how reliable, efficient, affordable energy, responsible energy helps fuel our lives and helps us to thrive and prosper. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. All of the podcasts, recaps of the shows are there. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent podcast, our most recent op-eds. And we would appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. This is our Health and Hydrocarbons Show. And my friends, we take it for granted, but hydrocarbons, actually, they help power our lives. They allow us to go after pursue our happiness. And if, in fact, our energy sources become more and more expensive, that means you're going to have less and less money in your pocket for other things that you would like to purchase or do to make your life better. And that is why we need to understand the benefit of hydrocarbons. Now, the word renewable has a nice ring to it. That has been a word that's been romanced, and it means supposedly good. But we're realizing that renewable is more expensive, it's not as reliable, and if the Biden-Harris team is, in fact, become president and vice president, they have endorsed this Green New Deal. And that's why these Senate races in Georgia are so important. On the line with me is Tom Petrie. He's with Petrie Partners. It is a boutique oil and gas investment banking firm. Tom, let's talk a bit about these Georgia races.
Yes. Well, it's very clear cut that if these races were to go to the Democrats, then control of both houses of Congress would be there. And it's been clearly stated by the likes of AOC and others that if we win this, we won't have to negotiate. We will simply be able to dictate. The latter part, I just added that statement, but won't have to negotiate with Republicans. The legislative process will become one of simply forming the points of view that they've articulated before, and go there. You mentioned the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal, as formulated right now, and been put forth has about 20% of it speaking to renewables. The rest of it speaks to bailouts of cities that have been poorly run and a whole host of other liberal initiatives that can be sold under the Green New Deal. But we're seeing the same thing that happened earlier this year when initiatives that were supposed to address the coronavirus challenge were making sure that they took care of the Kennedy Center and various other public functions that should be on some kind of a sustainable, self-sufficient basis for funding. And that's really the issue that's at stake. This is a big, big decision. And when you think about the reports we get daily now of aberrations, and of course some of the aberrations in the counting process, we're told, well, yeah, well, this happened, but it was a human error, or this happened, and it's not that big, it didn't change the outcome, so don't bother us with it. When you get that kind of rationalization, it really speaks to how important divided government can be in formulating a basis for honest negotiation on the merits of the policies that are being talked about.
Tom Petrie, you're alluding to something, and that is we as Americans need to trust our elections to know that they are just and they're fair. Now, we understand that there are human errors. That does happen. Yep. However, and we're going to watch this whole thing unfold, but a friend of mine last night said that if, in fact, Biden was so sure that that it was only human error, just a few things here or there, he would also ask for an investigation. And I hadn't even really thought about that, but that is something on both sides of the aisle. I think most people can agree that we do want to make sure that these elections have integrity and that they're fair and they're just. And I thought that was just an interesting observation by her.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. One of the most disturbing things I've heard is a series of reports now, and they're measured in the thousands. I first heard it anecdotally of somebody who showed up and was told, you've already voted. And that person said, no, I haven't. And then there was a whole series of discussions. Oh, you must have sent in your absentee ballots. No, it's actually sitting on my counter at home. I saw it just before I came. Anyway, that sort of situation is showing up more and more. You've already voted. And if that's the case, there's a systemic issue that needs to be run to ground to make sure we understand what is going on.
If in these states where there's been these irregularities, and I've had a couple of listeners respond to this, I'd mentioned maybe what we need to do is a do-over in those states. Because we need to make sure that we trust the integrity of our elections. Another friend, I mentioned this earlier in the show, she's been in the IT business, and she said, I can tell you exactly how this could have been done regarding the changing of votes. So going back to Georgia, it is so important so that we have a balance of power. The founders felt that a balance of power to negotiate is so important to the American idea, Tom.
It is. And you know, a runoff election like we're going to be seeing with these two senatorial candidates, with these two positions, is going to involve many of the same procedures that the election had. There'll be paper ballots. There will be mail-in ballots. It does require real focus on the part of everybody to appreciate what, you know, do we want a Congress that can dictate, one party can dictate, this is the way it's going to be because we have all the votes. You know, mind your own business and go on home is almost the what's at stake here. And especially when someone says, we don't need to negotiate if we win these. You know, the nature of the legislative process, good things come out of forced negotiation, required negotiation. Both sides may have points that are worthy of consideration, But if one side knows they've already, it's already predetermined that they have the votes, then it becomes a matter of dictating what's going to happen. The Green New Deal being a good example of what one party would like to impose on the rest of the population.
Tom, as you're saying this, Tom Petrie, I was just thinking about our founding, where it was to be servant leaders. Everyday people would step forward and serve for a period of time and then step back and work to espouse these ideals of a smaller government, a bigger individual. But then you get over to the dictating, and of course the next word of that is dictator. That is something that I think should be of great concern when we have politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties that don't care about the policies and what that does to everyday people, but instead that they want to dictate. We're in a difficult situation. We're at a historical time in America, Tom Petrie.
We really are. And the genius of what was created more than 200 years ago was the Electoral College and the notion that the way you bring the rural and the city together is to make sure you've got enough balance of power across the entire political spectrum to achieve that. Now, you know, that popular vote, the decide that, well, we just should have popular vote, let all the numbers fall where they may, fails to understand that the success of this country over two centuries has come from that ability to bring interests in the rural areas together with interests in the city areas and create a balance of policy making coming out of that. That is really what's going to be at stake if in fact, this goes the wrong way. Because I think there's a real dedication to say, one person, one vote, and that's all we need to know. And then that combined with the concerns we currently are having about how those votes are counted really comes to the fore.
We have just about 4 minutes left, Tom, and just a couple of other things. When you and I were doing our pre-call, and I talked to when Karen Levine was on, she was talking about New Mexico. Really, she's in the real estate business, really making it difficult for realtors to help people buy and sell their homes down in New Mexico. And just saw a piece recently in Colorado Politics that economic analysts are warning that New Mexico could be unable to rely on its oil and gas industry as the market continues to struggle amid the COVID-19 pandemic, and that, in fact, they might lose 30% of their state budget. That's pretty significant, Tom.
It is. It really is, and it's a warning beyond New Mexico. It's true there, and frankly, their policymaking down there is not as anti-oil as it is here in Colorado. So we also have quite a bit of our revenues for the state dependent on this, but we have a mindset within some of the policy making that's going on in this state that we can afford this. We'll just make sure we put up more windmills and more solar panels, and it'll all be a smooth transition. I wish I really could believe it'll be as smooth as is expected, because I think that theme that you mentioned of taking our energy successes of the last decade for granted really applies in both cases. But it's especially the case there. The percentage is a little smaller here, but it's still one of the most important parts of our economic makeup in this state. And taking it for granted could be a really challenging situation as we work through the next several years, in my view.
Well, and Tom, we're just about out of time. We're talking with Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners, which is a boutique oil and gas investment banking firm. Reliable, efficient, affordable, and responsible energy fuels our lives, helps us thrive and prosper. What is your final thought, Tom Petrie, as we're moving into Thanksgiving week?
Well, I think, you know, let's really rely on markets. We've had market signals are really what set up the shale revolution. And the progress we made between basically 2008 or 9 and 2019 in rejuvenating energy picture across the United States created a lot of the success that we saw in the first 3 years of the Trump administration. And I think retrieving that, making sure that that has a real role to play going forward will be important.
Well, and people really need to be paying attention to this, need to understand this, because if our energy costs get out of whack, it really hurts everyday hardworking people. And so we want to make sure that we keep that efficient, affordable, reliable, and responsible energy source, and that is health and hydrocarbons. They're closely connected. Tom Petrie, I wish you and your family a very blessed Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Kim. You too.
Okay. And our quote for today is from Corrie Ten Boom. And she said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I thought that was very appropriate for what's going on in America today. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, and think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon.